The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
It's interesting to see that of the original 18 lines, only one has made it onto the new stem cell bank, which we could call the Obama Bank.
I mean, for 10 years, the government told us to use a handful of lines, and now they're telling us we can't use those lines. So they've just wasted millions of dollars and lots of resources, which just seems outrageous to me.
If these lines are not grandfathered and put on the registry, then we'll be back to the Bush years where researchers will have to be very, very careful about setting up their labs in two pieces.
That's Christopher Scott, who directs Stanford University's program on stem cells in society, and geneticist Julie Baker of Stanford University, opining about the recent change in policy by the Obama administration on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, in particular certain lines. And it sounds as though there's been an error. Fewer lines available and perhaps even more restrictive ethical guidelines. We're going to be talking about that here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, March the 18th. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. William Hurlbut of Stanford University will be our guest to talk about President Obama's stem cell policy. Then we'll spend the rest of today's program discussing Islam and terrorism with Mossab Hassan Youssef. He's authored a book called Son of Hamas. He is, in fact, the son of a founding member of the terrorist organization Hamas. Dr. William Hurlbut is a regular guest. He's a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics and consulting professor at the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. Dr. Hurlbut, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
I thought that President Obama's change in policy, if you will, on stem cell lines and their availability and federal funding for them was supposed to create more opportunity for embryonic stem cell research. I read in the press lately that some are complaining that there's less. What's going on?
Well, what happened was they drew up a set of guidelines that they declared ethical guidelines for future use of embryonic stem cell lines. And ironically, some of the ones that President Bush had approved did not meet their standards. So they had to go back and decide whether how they'd been procured, whether it had been proper informed consent, whether they met the guidelines. And many scientists had been working with those cell lines and are now frustrated that once their grants run out, they can't continue to work with them under current ethical guidelines.
How much of this is an issue of funding or grant money as opposed to availability of stem cell lines?
Well, there's been quite a lot of money for embryonic stem cell research. Even under the Bush administration, there was a lot of money set aside on the federal level as well as the state level. On the federal level, the funds are restricted to the lines that President Bush approved. And what you have to understand is that most of the basic research has been done now on those lines, and specifically on a few lines in that set that President Bush approved. As a result, the standards, which you might call the gold standards for this research, are now established with those lines, and scientists are quite frustrated that they can't continue to apply for new grants to study those lines. I suppose in a while it'll all sort itself out, though. I think that those lines will probably ultimately be grandfathered in. At least that's what many scientists and even ethicists believe should happen.
What was the moral reasoning, if you will, of the Bush policy back in, I think it was 2001, 2002?
Yeah, it was 2001. And now I can't tell you exactly what President Bush's moral reasoning was, but from my discussions with him and with members of the administration, my impression was that he felt that since the lines had already been established and had been established, even though they involved the destruction of embryos, it was kind of a confusing time when they were first harvested and people didn't know what was legal, what was ethical. And given the fact that the embryos were not going to come back to life and that could be done with those cell lines, President Bush felt that he would draw a line in the sand. He would use the existing stem cell lines, but forbid further lines to be funded with federal funds if they involved destruction of human embryos. In the meantime, the president was very keen on finding ways to get the cell lines without destroying embryos, and he made an executive order eventually, some years later, to fund such projects. And those approaches, alternative approaches, have now gotten to the point where they're being taken very seriously and used in scientific inquiries to find ways around this whole ethical dilemma.
As far as you can tell, has the moral reasoning changed with President Obama's administration?
Well, it was an odd thing. The Obama administration, in seeking to draw guidelines for ethics on this and to allow good science at the same time, actually made the ethical lines so stringent that they couldn't fund the existing lines that President Bush had approved. And that was an odd irony. And it's frustrating a lot of scientists now because they've done their basic research on those Bush-approved stem cell lines.
This is really a conversation, it seems, about federal funding. Is there private money still available, albeit probably much smaller amounts, for those who want to continue to do research on these lines or any other lines?
Yes, it's all about federal funding in the controversy, because unless there are state laws, there are no reasons why they can't spend their own money or state money on these lines. And of course, there's a lot of charitable support for embryonic stem cell research now. The irony of it was that because of the controversy, it probably generated more funding for embryonic stem cell research than would have happened otherwise. You got to understand, this is to some degree an exploration, a speculative adventure to see what these cells are capable of. And there was a lot of hype in the beginning about cures and about scientific advance. And there is slow incremental gain of knowledge by the study of these so-called embryonic stem cell lines. But in fact, it's been frustrating and somewhat disappointing to some people. I think long-term, there will be good scientific and medical advance from studying pluripotent stem cells, which is what embryonic stem cells are. But my own feeling is that we should find alternative ways of getting those cells that don't carry controversy and therefore will be fully available for funding. I've proposed such a project called Altered Nuclear Transfer. There's another very interesting, exciting project called Direct Reprogramming, so-called Induced Pluripotent Stem Cells, where you take a body cell from an adult and reprogram it back to the same state as embryonic stem cells, only without creating and destroying embryos. Likewise, my project, Altered Nuclear Transfer, does not create and destroy embryos. And we just got a $2.5 million grant from the National Institutes of Health for this project, and we're making very, very good progress. I think there's a very good chance we can also supply a way of getting the cells without creating and destroying embryos.
So there is,
that's the right way to go, because then everybody can be on board.
So there is federal funding also for these alternative stem cell research that does not require the creation or destruction of human embryos.
Yes, that's right. And you know, these require some investigation. They require research and development. And when I first put my proposal forward for Altered Nuclear Transfer, some people said, well, it seemed sort of like you were creating an embryo that was just somehow unable to do certain things. But with our further scientific advance, we're winning over everybody that has challenged us, I believe, and we're going to supply a very good way to go forward. Basically, what it amounts to is a way of starting with a different set of initial ingredients so that you don't get a living being, but you just get a cell culture of pluripotent stem cells. And I always believed, serving on the president's council and in conversation with the president when I talked with him about this, that we could find a way to go forward without creating and destroying embryos. It just makes sense that there are ways to do, many ways to do things, and in biology there are often alternative paths toward the same goal.
Finally, then, if there were genuine cures found with the use of embryonic stem cell research and embryonic stem cells that albeit required the destruction of the creation of and destruction of human embryos, would those cures justify the creation and destruction of those embryos?
Well, in my opinion, we should not build the foundations of our biomedical science on the creation and destruction of human embryos. I think human embryos are the earliest stages of human lives. And just as you are an adolescent and a child and an infant, you are also a fetus and an embryo. That's the beginning. Once you're established through fertilization, you are a living human organism, and I believe we should protect all human lives from their initiation to their natural death. I do not believe we should go forward on that basis, the destruction of embryos as the foundation for our future. I think we will end up regretting it. Among other things, we will not find a logical stopping point for how many and what stage of development embryos can be used. I think it's a very, very bad idea, and especially because there are alternative ways to do this, and we can find morally acceptable ways to sustain social consensus and very positive science. So I do not believe we should destroy embryos to find cures.
When we come back, one more question for Dr. Hurlbut. Given the moral implications of embryonic stem cell research, the availability of alternatives that do not carry those moral implications, does President Obama seem to understand the moral landscape when it comes to embryonic stem cell research? Does his policy, his new policy, reflect it? Does any revisions that they may make in his policy reflect a moral understanding of this issue? We'll get the answer to that question with Dr. William Hurlbut, former member of the President's Council on Bioethics. On the other side of the break, then, Islam and terrorism, Mossab Hassan Youssef, son of a founding member of the terrorist organization Hamas, will be our guest. Stay tuned.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over casserole in. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors. And we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, etc.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. William Hurlbut is our guest. A few more minutes with him, and then we're going to round off today's program talking with Mossab Hassan Youssef. He's the son of a founding member of the terrorist organization Hamas, and he's co-author of a new book titled Son of Hamas. He has left Islam and Hamas as well. We'll talk about Islam and terrorism. Dr. Hurlbut, before the break, you were talking about the moral implications, the alternatives to embryonic stem cell research. From President Obama's policy and rhetoric on this issue, do you think, does it appear that he understands the moral implications of what you described before?
I really do not know what he understands about this. He himself said that it was beyond his pay grade, and I take that as, don't have to take that negatively. It could be a statement of humility, in which case he needs to listen carefully to all sides of the issue, and especially to those people who object, because you don't want to build the future of your biomedical science on something that only half the people of the country, or maybe less than half, actually find morally acceptable. This is a very important part of the definition of a society as a noble and progressive society. You want to build it on, you want to build biomedical science on a foundation that everybody agrees with, not where there's controversy. The last thing you want is turn the medical centers and the hospitals, research centers, into arenas of controversy where half the population disagrees with what's happening and resents their tax monies going there. What we want to do is build it with consensus, a sense of our a noble purpose. And by the way, the last thing you want is for patients in the most sensitive and vulnerable moments of their lives to enter the hospital with moral qualms about the research foundations of their cures. We just need to find a positive way forward. That's all. We can do it. We can sustain national consensus and find a positive way to go forward.
Dr. William Hurlbut is a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics, consulting professor of the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. Dr. Hurlbut, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking this issue so seriously. It's a very important one.